You're now live.
Thanks. So I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order now at 5:30 p.m. And we're going to do a roll call. Marty Gator.
I am here.
You're here. We have Mike Eister.
Here.
And we have Pete Knox.
Here.
And we are, I will call names, but to see if folks are here, we have Greg Evans not here right now, Leonard Storr, Philip Chemieux, and Susan Cox. Okay. We are going to go ahead and there are no preliminary remarks from the chair specifically, except to thank those of you who are able to make it today. Thank you so much for being here. No agenda announcements or additions to the agenda. And I'll pass over to Camille for audience participation.
And I am not showing anyone indicating, actually, I'm going to give it just a minute. I believe we're going to have one testimony.
I believe that was the case as well.
We do. Perfect. Rob, give me just one moment to get the timer started. We have Rob Zako.
Good evening or good afternoon. This is Rob Zake with Better Eugene Spickle Transportation. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Rob. Thank you for being here.
Wow. You are incredibly efficient. It's just 1.5 minutes after the start of the meeting, you're already doing public testimony. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I want to talk about strategic planning, the topic of this committee, in particular SWOT analysis. So SWOT analysis, as I think you know, is a strategic planning technique. SWOT is short for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Strengths and weaknesses are usually considered internal, while opportunities and threats are usually considered external. So the strengths of a business or project or agency are things that give an advantage over others, internal factors. Weaknesses are things that are a disadvantage. And these can include things like personnel, finance. In the case of LTD, and I'm not going to do a SWOT analysis for you here, just to sort of get your thinking about it. Personnel, you could have staff that are experts in their field. You can have board members who are really engaged and smart and know about transit. You could have SPC. You could have the fact that LTD has assets such as electric buses and MX. Those are all strengths, they're all internal things. Weaknesses could be sort of the flip sides of those, of board members or management or workers that are not up to their jobs. It could be a lack of money. It could be a lack of infrastructure that's needed to deliver services well. Opportunities and threats are things that are happening in the outside world, and they're more trends and more future looking about how things are changing and how things might change for the better or for the worse. Opportunities could be, that climate change is increasingly becoming a thing, and there's an opportunity for LTD to provide more service to reduce our greenhouse gas emission. A threat could be that the community doesn't know who LTD is and is challenging some of the things they're doing, and LTD's relationship with the community is rocky, shall we say. Bess sees that there are a lot of changes happening at LTD. You're getting a new general manager. You're going to be getting 3 new board members. And we're coming out of a pandemic. There are technological factors. And we think that doing a SWOT analysis, and I just tried to sketch a thumbnail of what that might involve, might be something that the Strategic Planning Committee, I think you're already thinking about doing this, but I just wanted to give some examples. So that's what I've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob.
And I am not showing anyone else indicating that would like to speak, so I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Camille. So we'll move to the first item on the agenda is our general manager recruitment update. And I know that we have Mr. Johnson, Mark Johnson, not available today.
Would you like prepared.
That? Yes, perfect.
it's quick. I asked Mark this morning what I should impart on this. And what he said is Jameson Otten is ready to start on November 7th. And he is actively meeting with staff and I believe he's connecting with board members as well in preparation for that start date.
Perfect. Well, excited. Does the committee have any questions or anything for the good of the order regarding our general manager, about Ryan Jameson? We don't have to discuss this general manager recruitment update anymore. It's regarding Jameson being here on the 7th of November. Wonderful. Well, we'll move on to our mobility management update. And that's Andrew, who is joining us virtually. Thanks for being here, Andrew.
Thanks for having me. So I'm going to share my screen. Today we're going to do a quick update on the mobility management strategy. And so, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. No action items today. But just want to give you an update because we will be coming back at the next meeting and talking more about some of our deliverables. So just want to give you an update. It's been, I think since March, since we talked about this project. So quick update and just getting us ready to talk more in depth about this in September. And I think it's also really useful because I know we're talking about STIF later, and then I think we're talking about STIF in September. So as we're talking about STIF, this thinking might be helpful to you all. I hope it's helpful to staff as well. So with that, you might remember that whenever we were doing our update in March, we've been talking about wrapping up our community outreach, which is always an important part of a project. And so as a reminder, we were working with stakeholders and partner communities and representatives from various groups, such as those who work with people with limited English proficiency, people with low incomes, older adults, the Latinx community, and others. And we also did a community-wide survey. We got 257 responses. And the takeaways, I think, were pretty much expected. Naturally, when you talk to lots of different people, they all have different needs. And so there's a diverse array of opinions about what kind of mobility services would really benefit individuals in our region. In general, though, it was really promising to hear a lot of support for increasing the quantity and variety of services in the community. These ideas ranged from people who wanted more fixed route bus service, which is always good, and people who wanted other types of services like door-to-door flexible routed services like our mobility on demand, other types of things LTD doesn't offer like electric bike share service or ride hail services. The gaps that people identified in our current services for them, particularly people in rural areas or areas with less frequent service, they noted kind of not having buses when they want to go someplace. In more urbanized areas, we heard that services might be less frequent in the evenings or on weekends, and that can make it a challenge for them. Also, you know, getting to the bus, we know that the buses are pretty close to a lot of people, but some people still need us to get closer to them, so some type of connection. From their house to transit, more options during off-peak hours, I mentioned, and other types of technological solutions like a single ticket to pay for all services. So they don't have to have multiple applications and multiple passes like for bike share and transit, improved trip planning, and some other technological solutions that people in the community suggested to us. And I think one of the really helpful things was we also asked people like what we should be thinking about, not about specific projects because we don't have any of those we're proposing, but just like when we're thinking about these services, you know, what are considerations for you or your community? And we got a lot of really good feedback, but it really boils down to the need to be accessible for people, both physically and technologically, because a lot of the suggestions people made were technology-driven solutions, even if it's, you know, a bus that picks you up at your house. A lot of the newer services are really technologically driven, and that's something LTD has faced as we've tried these services in various configurations. So that the need to be accessible both physically but also technologically for people with different types of technology, different skills, different ability to access the internet, for instance, things like that. So. Some of the other things we've been working on, we we did the community outreach piece, and we wanted to kind of square that up with kind of more of a data-driven needs assessment. And so these are a couple snapshots. We've been looking at where transit service exists and who's around there. So we did some analysis on access in our community with existing services, looking at different communities like low-income individuals or people of color. But we also, I think, did something I haven't seen us do before, which is access to jobs, and not just jobs in general, but looking at kind of the pay of those jobs. So do people have different access to high-paying jobs on transit versus low-paying jobs? That way we can try to make sure that we're providing, you know, access to people who need it, but also access to new opportunities if they want that. And so the purpose was really to help us understand how our services are impacting the community today and where we might be able to have more of an impact and meet people's needs based on where they live and what their jobs are. So we've also, because of LTD's kind of long history, or not super long, but pretty long for what the industry's been doing, a history of piloting mobility on demand, like our MGO and LTD Connect here in Cottage Grove, we also were interested in how this type of service model can be deployed. It's something a lot of people in the industry are looking at because it's something our customers have expressed interest in, which is getting picked up where they are and getting dropped off where they want to go and not having as much of a walk in between. So we've been taking a look at the different ways that this can work, and that can be either first mile, last mile connections, expanding coverage to places that don't currently have it, expanding service, not in a spatial way, but more in like a temporal way. So whenever our services don't run as late into the evening in certain areas, maybe expanding with a flexible routed mobility on demand, and also coverage expansions in rural areas. And I don't mean that necessarily like our Cottage Grove. Some agencies, though not LTD, have services that are more of kind of a dial a ride, and they cover much larger areas. They're not as flexible, kind of like LTD's ride source, where you have to call in advance because they do cover larger areas. So something that we've identified that's a model agencies are using. We've been talking with a lot of transit agencies about what they're working on and kind of the problems they faced and how well the solutions work for them. And we've learned that a lot of agencies are doing very similar work to us, trying to use new service models to really innovate and find ways to connect their community in ways that they haven't in the past. Generally, these other agencies are trying to do what I would call filling gaps. And so whether that's spatial gaps, so putting coverage in new areas, or specialized services gaps where you are trying to provide service, let's say, to late night trips for people who work swing shift, or expanding opportunities for older adults who can't access fixed route bus stops because it's too far for them, programs like that. And then we've also been talking with them about their organizational structure, because we don't just want to pilot these things. We want to figure out how we can really incorporate them into our service in a sustainable way. And so talking with agencies about how they're moving ideas forward, how they kind of continue after a project is a pilot, you know, who does it stay with? What departments keep those projects and keep them going, and how they're creating efficiencies rather than just adding on new things and create, you know, new costs, new burdens for them, really doing this in a way that creates efficiencies for their agencies. And finally, we've been working on what I would call our key deliverable for the project, which is our decision-making framework. And that's how we want to actualize all of the things I've been talking about. And so this is really how we're establishing a process for vetting ideas and figuring out what the best roles for us to play in any project would be. The framework is really a structured conversation, and it helps us to take a hard look at what kind of gaps the projects will fill in the community, how the project might impact LTD's operations, and how our community partners can be engaged in projects that will make it, you know, easier to deliver, more impactful, overall just more successful. And so we're going to have a lot more detailed information at our next meeting, which I believe is in September. And we're hoping you will give us feedback on our approach and bring up any other considerations that we need to look into, because we're working on kind of wrapping this into a higher level document that's going to summarize how LTD can really operationalize the work as a strategy, and we can keep innovating to deliver service in our community. And so with that, I know it's light on details, but I just wanted to give you all an update so that next time you're, I think, a little more prepared. It's been a while and I didn't want to come back with four or five documents to review and ask you what you thought without a little bit of a refresher. So any questions? Mike?
Do you see a particular role for the Strategic Planning Committee to play to be helpful?
Yeah, I do. We're testing out the framework this week. Actually, we want to talk with LTD staff to really make sure that we're getting to the heart of it. But I hope that it's not just a tool that LTD staff can use. That's not success to me. When we're talking about projects, and particularly as you all are, I think, going to be giving LTD staff advice on our stiff proposals. I think that you all can use the terminology, and I'm not sure if you would use the framework in the same way we would, because there are some questions that are more technical about how LTD operates and that nature. But the fundamentals of what roles we're playing, and I think we've got 11 different roles that we've identified LTD can play. I really do hope that you all can use that terminology and use that thinking to guide your advice to us on what projects we should be pursuing. And I think too, when we go through the exercise of having a structured conversation internally as staff around kind of where we see it, it should make a lot of sense when we report that back to you and say, here's how we're thinking about the project, here's where the benefits are, and here are some of the considerations. Here's why LTD's playing the role of doing the contracting for a service as opposed to operating it itself, or working with our partners in another city, because they're better placed to fill this role. And I think you all can give us really good feedback. You know, we might be off base. You might see it differently. And I think you can be part of that structured conversation too.
Thanks.
I appreciate that question, Mike. I think one of the things, thinking about picking up the conversation in September, I'm excited to get an idea of what the decision-making framework looks like. And, you know, I think we can look at prioritization, because there's a reality that there's so many resources that we have and there's so many needs that we have. And so I'm just kind of curious about how that will look like when we're thinking about priority populations or prioritizing, if we're thinking about, there's a variety of different things that we're thinking about as priorities in our community. So I'd just be really curious to kind of think about if this is being used to help us also build maybe a 5, 10, 15 year plan, and we're looking at everything in Lane County, and how are we targeting what we're going to be focusing on first. So I'm just curious about that, because all the synapses go off and I'm like, there are so many things that we can do, but I'm just excited to kind of see how this is going to help inform year one through five are doing X, Y, and Z, year 10, 15, 20. So that's what I'm hoping to kind of get an idea of. And also from the data analysis that you did I know this is a huge lift, but I'm thinking about where are the folks that need the most support in this? If we're thinking about folks, as an example, the folks that are in Mapleton and Deadwood that work in Eugene or work in Florence, and the bus routing within that. So thinking about those different opportunities. So I'd be just curious to see where we're looking at, where the focus is going to be for the first part of the project and everything. So those are things I'm curious about, just thinking about the need in the community.
Sure.
Probably what you have already, but I'm just excited to hear more about that.
Yeah, we are thinking bigger than LTD's service area. We want our partners to use not necessarily the framework itself, because it is LTD specific. I will say we're not coming out of this, I don't think we'll have a priority list for the next 10 or 15 years. It really is about helping us figure out when we have that priority, what's the best way to deliver the project, if that makes sense. So there's the longer term strategy of what are things LTD should be focused on, like what are those focus areas to make the biggest impact. But the decision-making framework itself, you know, I think if we look at something like the Cottage Grove Connector, there are probably 5 or 6 different ways that LTD could have delivered that project. And because we had really good partners at South Lane Wheels, right, there was a permutation that worked better because for a variety of reasons, right? Working with our partners sometimes makes a really strong project. There might be projects that are a really high priority, but we don't have what we need to deliver that, right? There might be regulatory hurdles that prevent LTD from doing something. And if we don't have partners, we can't deliver that. And so it's the decision-making framework really will be about helping us to find the best fit once we have, I think, those priorities in front of us. But I think our work on our outreach and the needs assessment will help to inform that. And that's where you all maybe have a bigger impact in helping tell us what those priorities are and helping our board shape the priorities, which then go into the framework about how we deliver it.
Well, Tom, go ahead.
If I can maybe add to that, Andrew, you know, one of the things that I really, you know, is good context for us in what we've been working on here is that a lot of the impetus for doing this in the first place is there are a lot of those things that have been coming our way and conversations that we've been having, you know, whether it's with the city of Eugene talking about bike share and what role we should play and the roles we have played. And you know, we did LTD conducted the regional bike parking study several years ago. You know, we were the ones first started looking at bike share, and not as something that we would do, but we just wanted to conduct that strategic study. And you know, that's in part those things as they've come at us were the, like I said, the basis for wanting to put this mobility management strategy together that gives us a way to think through how we might do some of these, take on some of these opportunities. What role should we play? How should we structure pilot programs, for example? How we did the Cottage Grove project, the pilot there was somewhat atypical. And I think as we move forward, we anticipate doing more of those kinds of pilots, maybe often working with partners as we work through this. So this strategy is going to help us just give us a structure to, I think through as we, in a deliberate fashion, as we move forward to those next set of opportunities.
Questions from any other committee members? I appreciate that. I do, Andrew, do your question, your point about maybe SBC can help shape some of those priorities. So it would be really exciting to see the data that you all get, kind of thinking about the level of needs and the different populations. I think that'll help the SBC really know the folks that utilize different parts of the system. So yeah, that'll be really helpful, I think, for this committee to see as well. And for all of the rest of a lot of other decision-making things that we need to be deciding on. So, all right, Marty, Pete, Mike. All right.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Perfect. Well, thanks, folks. Thank you, Andrew, for that. I appreciate it. And we will move on now to our STIF plan development process. And I don't know, Cosette's not here, so
yes,
Tom is sitting in for Cosette today.
I'll be going through this. Thanks, Alma. So tonight, what we want to do is just really give an overview. And let me say, in the context of our next item, we're going to talk about how we want to do these things. This is really a briefing. And I think in the future, this type of thing, it's a good opportunity to talk about. In the future, this would be reading material that we'd want you to look at before we have a conversation, which we will be having, about the STIF improvement fund plan, the STIF plan. So this will be, we're entering the third round, the third cycle of the distribution of the State Transportation Improvement Fund program dollars. We'll come back to you asking you to provide a recommendation to the board, who will be then making a decision. And if you may or may not recall, there are kind of two levels of decision making that the board is tasked with. One is that they serve as the what's called the qualified entity for Lane County. Across the state, you know, all 36 counties have a qualified entity. The tribes are considered qualified entities as well. And there are other others that serve that role. But for Lane County, Lane Transit District Board of Directors is the qualified entity. And so they will be adopting ultimately the overall plan for the use and distribution of STIF funds across the county for the next two-year period. As well, because we are eligible to apply for that funding, we are, LTD is a public transportation service provider. You'll see the acronym PTSP in some of the documents. So as a public transportation service provider, we're going to be looking at what we can, what we're going to need to add to our fixed route service to support other mobility options. In the last couple of cycles, we've used STIF funds to great effect on technology. And so those are the types of things that we would be looking at as LTD. And again, in STIF language, it's the public transportation service provider. In the memo, which I encourage you to look at, it outlines some of the things that we've done in the past. So just to recall, we invested STIF funds in programs to reduce fares for low income populations, for K through 12 students, mobility on demand projects, the mobile trip planning wallet, part of that. Again, the program that you just heard about from Andrew, the mobility management strategy was paid for with STIF funds. We have purchased vehicles, actually used STIF funds as what from a federal standpoint would be considered local match to buy additional vehicles and additional service on RideSource, the shopper service, match for purchase of fixed route replacement vehicles, like I said. And so moving forward, I should say that one of the intents that we've always had for the use of these funds, and you might recall before COVID, we were actually looking at a plan that would have added a lot of service to the system. We'll be looking at the extent to which we can use the STIF funds to add service in this next biennium. There's some constraints. We'll come back to you with a briefing on that in the near future. But suffice to say that's one of the key things that we're looking at moving out of COVID. And as we say in the memo, it's going to be important to prioritize those increases in service. Currently, we're operating about 82% of previous fixed route service levels. We'll want to, increase that to 100% certainly, but looking beyond that to grow the service. And in the memo, there's a couple of things worth pointing out here. Increasing service levels to outlying communities within the district. This might also include provision of ADA paratransit service in those areas. And again, we'll come back and talk about why that's important and why it might be required. Increasing frequency and span on our frequent transit network routes, and then continued purchase of vehicles to support the service expansion. So those are some of the key priorities that we're looking at. Just as a note on the process, working backwards, the board has to approve, well, let me say the stiff plan that shows how we are going to spend money in Lane County needs to be approved by the board and submitted to ODOT by January 16th. Because that is before the January board meeting, we're actually going to have the board take action in December, which means that we're going to want to come to the SPC for advice and recommendations on that at a meeting before that.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out when that is. Staff is currently kind of actively developing our stiff applications for the process. And again, we'll come back to you with more on that. So that's it.
Thanks. And so, yeah, sounds, I think that's a nice, well, before we move on, are there any questions specifically about this from the committee, about the stiff?
I should have pointed out, or maybe I did, that there's a nice attachment that we downloaded from the state that has a really good overview of the program. It was a program developed by ODOT as a report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Transportation. So it's got a nice a bit of information on the program.
Overview for that. Okay, appreciate that, Tom. I think, so it does sound to Mike's question and our the last topic of like, how can the SPC be supportive of this? We are working that into our upcoming agendas before, yeah. Which again, if we have no more questions about this, we can roll into the next topic, I believe, which is about our SPC purpose and schedule, which we had met. And I will happily have Tom and Marty, because Marty was in most of that meeting that I missed part of, be able to lead this conversation about our scheduling for upcoming meetings, right, too. So,
and is it possible to bring up that schedule that I sent you? I put it in the folder for the meeting, if that helps. What Camille's going to bring up is something that we've been working on. First of all, I wish I could have been at the meeting last time. You guys had a really good conversation. I listened to it all, and then staff had a follow-up meeting with Alma and Marty to talk about, in particular, how we could structure your agendas so that they're really focused on actively developing advice and feedback for staff and recommendations for the board. Camille's brought up the graphic of, and this is not, I'll say it'll shift. It's intended to be somewhat flexible to adapt to different needs. On the left-hand side of this graphic are some of the things that we know the board is gonna need to take action on. And that along the way, we're going to be looking for, from a staff level, your feedback and advice, per your conversation and really something that we really think is effective and actually enjoy participating in it is breaking the group up into small groups and coming and having a more, I think you guys use the term deep dive a lot about how do we facilitate those deep dives by the committee into the topics that we need advice and recommendations for. So we'll be using a lot of those kind of techniques to try and do that. I will say, and you can see in the schedule, there's written updates highlighted in yellow. We're going to be fleshing that out more as we start developing this, and it's a new way of looking at things for us, and hopefully an effective new way to engage you as a as a committee, but it will be important to actually read the written updates, because that's going to be helping you to prepare for the activities at the meetings. And so you can see we've laid out a schedule. Generally speaking, we were this morning talking about having a kind of every other month, kind of bi-monthly type of a schedule. I did hear today, and this is different from what we talked about this morning, but the PTSP plan recommendation that's shown for October, that's moved from the November meeting because given the tight timeline, we're going to need to have some way of bringing you guys in and developing your recommendation for the board. And we could talk about when that is. We just need to have it your recommendations done in a way that can meet the board's requirement to adopt the
plan.
So we'll figure that out. But this is part of the new process too. So it's kind of, you're going to have to be flexible and see what we can do. Again, we've color coded this so that the blue is providing input, feedback, and advice to staff as they're working through the development of the process. So you heard from Andrew tonight, just as an overview on the mobility management strategy. We're going to want to engage you at the September meeting again, that deep dive and advice to staff on how to flesh this out. So that, you can see for the mobility management strategy, we anticipate that a November meeting would be where you develop a recommendation on that. So that's how that process is going to work. I'm excited to kind of work through this. I'm sure we're going to discover some things. Oh, we should do it this way. But that's the hope. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. One of the things that this brought out at the staff level, we're talking about this, is it's really going to be important to fully populate the committee. And we'll talk about that later. But this, particularly with this format, we're going to want to have that full range of perspectives and all that can really develop a recommendation that's kind of fully vetted as we go to the board. one of the things that I called out, I just wanted to. As you, in your conversation, I identified you got consensus around reducing the number of agenda items to those specifically rated SPC role in providing advice, developing a 12 to 18 month calendar. I want to come back to that. Using the calendar of board decisions to develop a structured work program for the committee. Employing small group processes, which I referenced earlier, to facilitate that deep dive, filling existing vacancies on the committee, which we talked about. One of the things that I want to talk a little bit about is the role of elected officials in participation on SPC. And to that end, we had talked about possibly looking at how we can, in this kind of refresh of the committee, work with the electeds to maybe have periodic engagement rather than expecting them to be part of the quorum. And we can talk about different ways to do that, but I think they provide valuable input. I think, as you look at the I'll go back, maybe I referenced this before, but this committee grew out of the BRT steering committee. That committee was formed in the late 90s. Rob Bennett had a lot of energy around creating that group because he wanted a group of people that, at that time, the regional process was considering bus rapid transit as something that we wanted to do. And so the plan to do that wasn't adopted yet by Eugene Springfield, Lane County, LTD, the MPO. And so he brought the elected officials into this committee just for that purpose. He included members of the two chambers, Eugene and Springfield. He had other representatives, ODOT was brought in that context. So I think we want to look at, and again, his idea, his concept of bringing in the elected officials was that they were going to have to be part of this decision making. And I think as we move, that's why I'm thinking there's probably still a role we want them to play. I think we wanted, mindful of their schedule, certainly, but find a way that we can engage them strategically in a way that can help you guys. They also, as a result of that engagement, are a little bit more prepared for when we maybe bring things to their shop. So in that context, that's kind of what we came up with. I showed this to Camille today, and she wants to use this approach for all our committees. So I think we've got something good going here, and invite your feedback and discussion.
Absolutely. Love to hear from the committee, folks in the committee, reactions and reflections.
I have a question. Do I have to make a formal motion that we adopt this as part of an ongoing initial framework for our committee moving forward for point of reference?
Marty, we're just going to do this.
I like that even better.
I mean, certainly if you all have ideas.
And no objection whatsoever.
We're open to however we can make this work better for you.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's working for us already. So.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, you took the suggestions with the color codes and all that. I love what it's already morphing into. I mean, this helps immensely because it gives us that. If I take it back to my very early days of working in like TV media sales, projections, what's down range, what's right now. So it makes it easy to kind of plan. So I love it.
Well, if I can add, Marty, because this was a great idea to create something more graphically oriented. We have all this information in spreadsheets and things like that, and laying it out this way really just brings it. Okay, this is what we're trying to do. This is the scope of what we're trying to do. And as you think about how this rolls up to the board, and imagine the different committees that we have in that way. I mean, it just really is a clear way of showing how we're working through a deliberate process, and the board has, can expect to see things in a certain time frame, and all. So, yeah, thanks for the idea.
You bet. It's my goal to make this whole state communicate better across the board. I'm not leaving until it does.
Kate, do you have any feedback or any thoughts about this structure?
Well, I think it's, the way you got up here, as I understand it, the board, one of the things you learn from the board is that the board has some cycles that we go through over the course of the year, the budget, supplemental budget, and every 2 years you get this step funding. So I guess through this, and they're kind of, those things aren't really part of what this committee's really for. It's the things that the board gets to do to make decisions on that are unusual, like the mobility management strategy and what things that might come out of that. Those are the things that I think that this would be, this committee is really valuable for, because you get to discuss things in a way that the board absolutely can't, because we might not have the time. And so I get to do as a board member is I get to listen to you guys and take that information back to the board. So when you guys talk about things and it comes up something that it becomes controversial, then I would get to be able to tell the board, hey, you know, they talked about this and this got, these points were really controversial, but the SBC landed on X, Y, or Z. And if you guys end up voting for, you know, and have a unanimous vote, even with the controversial thing, that sends a very powerful message to the board about what you're trying to do. So you are truly advisors. You truly play an advisory role. And I think that's something that hopefully you all can keep in mind. I wish we had better attendance tonight, especially notice that Greg Evans is not here, and a couple other people, and we do have a couple of vacancies, if I recall correctly. So, you know, keep that in mind when you think about your role in the organization with this committee. I was on this committee before I became a board member, and I really am glad that I had the opportunity, because now I can see the bigger picture of what this committee does.
And what it can do.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I feel like you had a kind of almost like nice segue to talking about the elected officials. Like if they kind of know what's coming up on the agenda, it's a good way for us to come and say, hey, we really need you to be here. So this is one of the reasons I really just appreciate you laying it out this way for us, to that response that the committee asked for, because this does give the team an opportunity to see and know what's coming up. It also gives our public an opportunity to see what we're going to be talking about, so they can come and participate. So I'm really looking forward to this space being, making sure that this committee is going through the material ahead of time, talking to our community, getting feedback. So when we come to this space and we share, we can come with that intention of hearing from our community, whatever that looks like. And I think that'll kind of help that form follows function, right? We're building this out the way we're going to be building this out based on the function that we need to serve. So I'm excited for this, because that'll get us where we need to be, get the people in the seats that need to be here for representing our community. I appreciate that this is going to be a living document in some ways, because things come up, as we know, we learned anything the last few years. And so we appreciate the staff being responsive to the request that we had. I know that was a lot in that last meeting that you got to probably rewind and listen to over and over. So we appreciate that. Any other feedback or questions from the committee?
I'm going to piggyback on your point as well, Alma, because I think you made a really good point about information. Actually, we've all sort of said it, because I think when we first started, there's so much. And so, you know, it ties to what Andrew was even saying earlier, and utilizing us as best possible. You know, what are we communicating back out to the people that, you know, we're talking to in the community? So this helps narrow the field a little bit, narrow that cone of, okay, what exactly this particular time are we talking about? So just echoing what everybody's saying, it's a great tool. So thanks a lot, Tom, and everybody involved, all y'all, thank you.
Thanks for color coding it, Marty, making the recommendation. Mike, any, not to be on the spot, to just figure there's just a handful of us so I can check in.
There we go. There was a time in the history of our committee when we did provide meaningful input, and we did break up into smaller groups and focus really hard on deep dive stuff. And so I'm glad to see that coming back. And I think the idea that we came up with in not only I think the last meeting, but in an earlier meeting as well, to try to focus on several specific items rather than sort of wait to see what the flavor of the day is for the meeting. I think that's a much more planful way to ensure meaningful input from the committee. So I'm happy with us moving in this direction and hope this is the last meeting that we have where most of the meeting is staff downloading information to the committee and the committee spends more time providing feedback to the board for them to consider.
Yeah, thanks for that, Mike. And I think part of the, Marty and I will also chat about talking to our committee as well about, well, making sure where folks are going to be, recognizing that it's the last week of before school starts, right. But getting folks, the engagement of our committee. I think that's going to be one of the pieces that we'll work on, making sure folks are here and also getting them excited. I think, like, I just feel bad for folks who aren't able to attend tonight because they're missing out on what we could have seen for what's coming, what's upcoming. So maybe one of the community, I know that we don't necessarily send out like minutes from the meeting, but I would be really excited to share out this kind of, like, again, recognizing it's a living document, but getting this out to the council or to the committee and sharing this with them, letting them know what's coming up and how important it is for them to be here, and letting them know that this is, again, I just think it's so, this is a really awesome opportunity, kind of coming off the legacy of why this council, this committee was created. I love the word council, apparently. Why this committee was created was to get our community's input. And, you know, now more than ever, it's really, this is the time for us to do that. So yeah, if we can continue to work for that, but I'd be happy if you can send that out. We can just do a ping to everyone and say, this is what's coming up. Get this on your calendar. So just an extra additional forward from our board clerk. Wonderful. Excellent. All right. Yeah. Nothing else from this. Let's move on to our next agenda item. And we have our rolling into our SPC membership and recruitment discussion.
Right. And as the agenda item notes, there's no material here, but we do have several openings on the committee. And we certainly feel that it would be advantageous for us to fill those vacancies as quickly as we can. We'll go through a process. Discussion that I think we'll want to take some time to look at that, where we talked about looking at how SPC and the CATC meeting group might be able to coordinate better, maybe even have the committees become one. But that's just a conversation that literally started today. And there may be reasons, but it'd be good to coordinate and maybe have that committee use a similar process to what we're developing here in their engagement. Short of that, there's also, like I said, there's probably a number of people that we can recruit that could be good members to this committee. Maybe from my standpoint, in thinking about the groups that I've helped facilitate over the years, it would be good to get a sense from the committee members, not necessarily, specific individuals, though that always is helpful, but actually kind of what groups are you wanting to bring into the conversation, and how can we work to find, the right people to join the committee. So that's a kind of a deliberate approach. We also, I think, want to do that as quickly as possible. And so that's going to be the challenge. Okay. And again, looking for ideas from the committee on what interests do we want to engage?
Mix. Awesome. I have a couple questions. And Mike is raising his hand, so I'll let Mike go first. And then Marty.
So my recollection is that the bylaws for the committee specify categories of membership. Is that still accurate, or am I just remembering something fuzzy from the past?
There, you're right, Mike. There was, and I don't know if we can bring up the bylaws really quickly. That might help. When the bylaws had been created, we had identified a range of groups I think are fairly, it's a good list of well-rounded, interests. I think what we want to do, once she brings this up, you can look at it, is then have committee members maybe identify individuals that might be good for so it's on the first page and the second page, as I recall, of the bylaws. So those are the that's the bylaws, part of the bylaws that talks about the city councils of Eugene and Springfield and the Lane County Board of Commissioners and the and ODOT. But then there was, here we go. So business, chamber, industry, large employers, LTD customers, frequent transit riders, trying to create a diversity, a diverse committee, housing, neighborhood leaders, nonprofits, public health, rural, safe routes to school, students, sustainable, equitably, equity, environmental justice, tourism, transit advocates, and transportation options, bike, ped, carpool, van pool interests. So that was, and as the bylaws say, include but are not limited to this list of interests. That context, that's where we would be starting to look at, well, who do we know?
Who
we know of, who might make a really good committee member that maybe fits well.
Might be some nice intersectionality in that as well. So yeah, thanks for Mike. Thanks for recommending us. We bring up the bylaws because it's a nice kind of outline guide already. And then, like you said, not limited to, but we can, a good starting point. Marty, you had your hand raised next.
Yes. So, and I'm glad I see student because my question was going to be targeting students. Age restrictions. Do we have an age restriction on how old or how young someone can be to actually be on the committee? Can we target a high school senior?
Go ahead.
That's a really good question, Marty. We don't actually have that specified in the bylaws. I can say through the conversations when these bylaws were developed, I think the idea was surrounding college students. Mm-hmm. And with each of those categories, what we were looking for, the intent was representation of each categorical industry. For example, not a single student representing a single student's perspective, but somebody that represents a body of students or a body of transit riders and so on and so forth.
I only reason why I mention high school students is because, and not to single out the University of Oregon because I'm a CU Buffalo, it's more primarily because we have a lot of high school students that are within the Lane County area that probably spend more time in Lane Transit than our college students do. And I think we're missing an opportunity to get those voices and, talk about a way to maybe do some early civic engagement on that level and start bringing in those early voices that we, and I mean, I also think about just the mindset of what's happened through the pandemic. A lot of stuff has changed, right? So I think hearing some of these things from these people, I think these kids nowadays, I hate saying kids because again, it just dates me, just hate it. But those whippersnappers, they may have something to bring to the table that we may not be looking at.
I think that's a really good point. I think finding some representation of a large amount of students within Lane County would be very valuable.
And so, Marty, let's work on that. Let's see what we can do to, it may not be in some respects a traditional appointment of an individual. Maybe we're talking about something else, but I think it's definitely worth the conversation. Like you say, we do have a lot of high school ridership. A lot of high schoolers use the system. Mm-hmm. Finding a way to engage them, to Camille's point, in a way that can get that kind of representative voice is what I think we want to try and.
And I think just the future ramifications behind that, if we could partner with them in a positive way, get them excited, just the future ramifications behind that for the district is exponential, I think. That's a whole lot of cheerleaders, a whole lot of parts of the city. So I think the future ramifications are huge.
Right. And it's from my standpoint as a transit planner, I think about the future transit riders.
Yeah.
They're our future.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate
that. That was my question, is age limit. So
I was gonna ask about I don't recall how I got recruited. I just recall when Mike, nominated me for this position and everything before that to blur. But like, what is our recruitment process for? I mean,
it's all the blur. I don't even know how I got here.
That's all Mike. We blame Mike. But we, it was a recommendation to staff, and then you reach out. What does that process look like? I'm just thinking about that. Also helps just understanding a little bit more about, is there a formal process?
And what's that like? I'll ask Camille to lay out the process that we've used in the past. And I'll say, there's the formal process that we had. And then like Marty came to us via Greg.
Oh, that's so right.
He reached out to me saying, hey, I got this great guy. And we talked and that happened that way. So you want to talk about our formal process?
Yes. So we do have an online application process. Typically what we have done, well, historically, what we have done is reached out through chambers, through LCOG, through city staff. And I think I'm forgetting a couple of agencies. We've utilized that network, say, hey, we have vacancies on our strategic planning committee. Do you know anybody who would be interested that would be a good value add? So a lot of our membership has come off of recommendation from our stakeholders and community partners. And then just going through the online application process, and all committee members do get appointed through the board. So we kind of provide the staff recommendations or the applications to the board of directors, and they appoint to the committees.
So online application and then staff reviews. There's a review of the applications.
Yes.
And then it goes to the board. Yes.
I would add, Camille, because Philip Chimieux is a good example. We post the availability or opportunity. Yes. And Philip responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different channels that we've used.
Okay. Awesome. It's just good for thinking about how the traditional ways, and then other things that we can do, other communities that we can reach out to, folks. Yes, I appreciate that. And then looking at our prospect list, it would be nice to see have a matrix that had, because we have on our website right now our current roster of folks and the vacancies, but then maybe even taking a look at, and again, this could be something that the committee can help with as well, but being able to have a matrix of what is in the bylaws, so we know who maybe who represents on our council committee, represents those different potential intersections or different groups. There's a bird is really wanting to join this meeting too.
Yeah.
We said recruitment and then it started jumping out the window. This is what happens. We have hybrid and coming back to real life in front of each other. To be able to see a matrix of what we have in the bylaws, and then who we potentially are missing, that again, the visual piece of being able to see that might be really helpful for us as well.
Sure.
Awesome. And then we can, again, another exciting thing we can talk to the committee about thinking of folks. So that can be getting that, the preparation for these meetings, the work, the homework that needs to be done before we get here. That can be something that's helpful for us to bring back to the committee to look at that and think about who we can talk about in our next meeting too.
So just so I'm clear, you want, we can put this on the agenda next time.
Yeah.
And I would say in the meantime, we want to.
Yeah, yeah. I was hoping that, so maybe we could even, and again, I'm just going to throw all the things out because I don't really know what the rules are. We can only talk about this when we're having this meeting, but to be able to send that out to the committee and talk about where there are vacancies, where there are gaps. And then also thinking about, like, you know, Marty brought up having a high school student, because we have our high schoolers use the bus, LTD as they're getting to school and back. Thinking about who might be missing from the table, and if there are intersectional pieces that we have, because, you know, think about, if we're thinking about rural communities, BIPOC communities, can we have someone who represents, like, a high school student that represents a rural community? Are they part of a bigger club or group that talks about transportation? So just thinking about who might be missing from the conversation, and we can get that out to the committee ahead of time. And that can be a, you know, this is an ASAP, you know, we'd like to be able to have these recommendations sooner than later.
You know, to that end, we could certainly send a survey of sorts to the committee members.
Yeah.
Soon.
Awesome.
And maybe get your collective responses together before the next meeting, and that can just round out things.
And even if, I mean, I feel like, again, even if we're going to send that to the board and maybe other folks too, because you all know who's engaged in the committee. So this can be one conduit to connect to folks, but giving that to the board, that survey as well, so they can see who might be, again, if you're thinking about, you know, Pete is a perfect example. This is a feeder committee to the board. They might think of folks that maybe don't have capacity to be on the board, because we did that big recruitment not too long ago. There might be people who still are on that list who could be good, who could fit on this council, sure, on this committee. So, yeah, I mean, again, it just makes, I feel like it might make everyone's life, your life, be easier too, Camille. So we're not writing a whole bunch of reply alls to you about who we think is good. And okay, Marty has his hand up. And, yes.
I hate to be the broken record, but the roster is still not updated on the website.
Because I actually did just update that last week. So there, we may be having a website glitch.
Okay.
Or so something. So okay. I will look into that tomorrow.
Thank you. Like, Leah is still listed as chair. I'm not even on there.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Caitlin Vargas is on there. Emily Secord. So many people are, I don't think I've been on the board anymore.
Nope.
Oh, there's Alma. She's not as the chair. So okay.
Yeah, something went awry because it was updated. So I'll check that tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marty. Mike?
This may be a little bit heretical, but there are transit skeptics in the community that it might be good for them to be inside the tent rather than outside the tent. And for us, I certainly wouldn't want very many on the committee, or maybe one's enough, but that might be a category. And I'm not saying anti-transit, but I'm saying people that are concerned that, I'm just saying that there are transit skeptics out there that maybe we should seek to ensure that they have an opportunity to voice their opinions to the rest of the committee and to be heard.
I agree with you, Mike. I think there should be two of them. Otherwise, they're going to feel ganged up.
And I'm not talking anti-transit. I'm just talking about
opposite opinion.
Well, just skeptical, you know?
Yeah, there you go. So, not sure if the warp drive is working on the Enterprise.
So, Mike, if you've got ideas of folks that you know that might fit that, that would be helpful for us. And certainly we can think about that. And I appreciate the difference between anti-transit and skeptical.
Yeah. It's good. It's that discourse helps make things stronger sometimes, right? So I think being able to have that, you know, folks that we can throw things at the wall and see what sticks and talk a little bit more, and yeah, contrarians sometimes help because then it helps us get stronger. So appreciate that. So I did put on here skeptics, maybe two. And so we can talk a little bit more about folks that you folks who want to make friends, make more friends with LTD. I think that's always good in transit. All right. I think this was a great conversation. Are there any other, anything else from the team about this topic? I mean, folks are missing out. This is an amazing, this is a great conversation that we're having. I'm really excited. So if you're listening in, I hope that you also are interested in reaching out to LTD and seeing about getting on this committee. Very excited for the future opportunities that are coming up. All right. Anything else for good around this topic? We're making really great time, folks, and got a lot done. I'm very, very excited for this. We have the written reports. Did anyone have any questions about the written reports that were included in our packet, the strategic business plan, the committee consolidation of the STIF and the STF for the safety plan update? Okay. Items for action or information for future meeting. I think we did discuss, we're going to have a survey that goes out about our potential recruitment for count for committee members. And we will get the this calendar together to be able to send to the to do a follow-up to folks who are to just everyone. That includes the folks who didn't attend today, just so they can see what's coming up. And maybe on the survey we can have a potential, I don't say deadline, but like an expectation for when folks can complete that so that we can make sure we have some information for our September meeting or even earlier than that, if we need to.
You know, I want to say something that it's just my brain's been processing on who we'd like to invite to the table. And, you know, I think moving forward as we look at adding, being able to add service and actually, you know, again, increasing the service to outlying areas of the district with the understanding that, you know, someone in Junction City or Cottage Grove or Bonita or up to McKenzie, you know, it's hard for them to get in, but that's where I think we want to look at technology to help us with that. But, you know, that, and I'm not saying there's a uniform voice out there in outlying areas, but having some perspective from that angle would be really useful.
Awesome. I did rural and put a question mark to kind of think about you talked about the service areas, you know, Relay Transit District, but I realize there are some service areas that, and maybe even thinking a little creatively, if we're thinking about the mobility management, you know, if there's that space where this might not be within LTD's range, but like there are potential partners who are the folks that can kind of help, you know, be a voice in that. So yeah, I think that's
great. And in that context, then we're looking, you know, at least countywide.
Yeah.
Right? And we do have interest, I will say, from areas outside the district for awesome. Kind of connecting by transit or other modes.
Yeah.
So yeah,
great. So maybe strategically having that conversation, I don't want to speak for, well, this is the committee, but having that conversation with staff too about who we might, when you're thinking about the categories, like we have the bylaws, you know, and others, if there are, if we want to call out like areas too, that might even be helpful, like leaders in those areas, or there are chambers and other smaller and other areas too that we might want to have folks. So anyway, I feel like it's very exciting to kind of explore the different groups that we can try to engage in the process. And we have technology. That is one of the nice things that folks can be available in that way. So yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, is there anything else for the good of the order? Thank you. Thank you all. We'll go ahead and call the meeting. We're going to adjourn at 6:44. We are way ahead of time. Appreciate everyone. And thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.